It's Chuck U. Farley.
Mike Papa.
And Lindy.
And welcome back to another episode of We're Sorry, Did We Offend You? The timing was a little better on this one. Usually it's like...
Hey, it works. That's all good. We have a good day every now and then.
Yeah. So, this could be a good day. This could be a good day.
Maybe. Lindy's getting her snack in. That's all good.
But so it's been a pretty busy week in the fucked up world of Washington D.C.
You think? I mean, when isn't it busy up there? And drama and corruption and
yeah, but a lot of shit came out this week. You have the guy who wrote the letter coming forward.
For the 51 intelligence people?
Yeah. That said that Anthony Blinken told him to write it. This was a direct directive from the Biden campaign.
Yeah, so Anthony Blinken, the current Secretary of State, at the time was a senior official on the Biden campaign.
Oh, okay.
And when it was discovered before the debate with Trump, before the final debate, like, well, he's probably going to use it. So Blinken contacted this guy, Mike Morrell, former acting director of the CIA, and told him, basically, draft up a letter and get some people to sign it saying this is Russian disinformation. So they got, you notice it's all former intelligence people. Nobody was current because mm-hmm. the CIA is not allowed to operate in the U.S. But
that, you know they are.
Even though they are. Mm-hmm. But that letter was actually a form of disinformation mm-hmm. on the American people. Yeah. And the media ran with it. And then Biden ended up using it in the
debate.
So you talk about a disinformation campaign, and it was purchased by the Biden or facilitated and initiated by the Biden campaign. Damn. So he said that under oath and testimony to a congressional. So it's
yeah. Yeah. And see,
but is anything going to be done about it?
Who knows? We're 2 years into this fucking presidency, and not one impeachment charge has been brought forward. So I don't know. I mean, everybody's throwing up these good screens and everything.
Well, yeah, but we've had control of the House since January now, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is an impeachment charge right here. There's so many, the Biden crime family stuff that's coming out about.
A dozen people now?
That benefited?
Yeah.
At least nine.
No, they're saying 12 of Biden's family. There's not going to be anybody left for the Christmas card photo when they're fucking said and done, if they do their jobs.
Just all mug shots, if all goes right.
Yeah, but so here's, this is October 31st. Okay, when was the election in 2020? November 4th, November 8th, something like that. Fine. Right? This is October 31st, right before the election in 2020. This is Joe Biden talking to KCRG TV in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
What about the Americans who really today only want
Beth Malicki.
Well, by the way, it's there's nothing to any of that. Nothing to any of that. It's all a smear. Every major outfit, every serious investigator has pointed out that this is a smear. This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden, there's a laptop. And you may recall, there's also talk about 4 months before, there was a similar thing that somebody had, allegedly. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community, that the Russians are engaged. I mean, look, this is, my son's an honorable man.
Yeah. Well, here's the debate itself, right?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Countries trying to interfere in the outcome of our election. His own national security advisor told him that what is happening with his buddy, his buddy Rudy Giuliani, he's being used as a Russian pawn. He's being fed information that is Russian, that is not true. And then what happens? Nothing happens. And then you find out that everything is going on here about Russia is wanting to make sure that I...
Yeah, see, blame it on Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I really don't get because I'm still confused by this whole Russia thing. The Cold War has been over for how long? And these guys just kept like, Russia.
Yeah.
Hey. It's true about Russia, Ukraine, China, other countries, Iraq. If this is true, then he's a corrupt politician.
All right.
So don't give me the stuff about how you're this innocent baby. Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody.
Hey, President Trump, I want to stay on the issue of race. We're talking about the issue.
From hell.
President Trump, we're talking about race right now, and I do want to stay on the issue of race. President Trump,
I have to respond to that.
Please.
Because look,
very quickly.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what
this
that's
where you're
exactly
going?
What
this is
told.
Where he's going. The laptop is Russia, yes. Russia,
gentlemen,
Russia.
I want to stay on the issue of race.
You
okay?
have to be kidding. Here
Mr.
we go
President,
again with Russia.
We're going to continue on the issue of
Russia. I love Trump.
I know. Yeah. Russia. And that's the truth. So, yeah, what's this guy? His name that wrote the letter?
Mike Morrell.
Yeah. Yeah, so he already testified or is he going to testify?
So he testified. Here's a letter, April 20th.
Mm-hmm.
A letter, is this a letter to? That's a letter to Senator Blinken saying you need to come in and talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Morrell already testified, and let's see, I think I downloaded the testimony on his intent. He even states why he did it. Let's see if I can find it. There's so much stuff here. Testimony reveals Secretary Blinken and the Biden campaign were behind the infamous public statement. This is from a House Judiciary Twitter feed, right? Let's see. Subsequent reporting. Let's see. But prior to... Okay. That's the letter. I thought I downloaded... Oh, here it is. The committee's recently conducted... A transcribed interview with Michael Morrell, a former deputy director of CIA and one of the 51 signatories of public statement. In his transcribed interview, Morrell testified that on or around October 17, 2020, you reached out to him to discuss a Hunter Biden laptop story. So this letter is to Blinken, okay?
Right.
At the time, you served as senior advisor to the Biden campaign. According to Morrell, although your outreach was couched as simply gathering Morrell's reaction to a post story, it set in motion the events that led to the issuance of the public statement, Morrell testified. Question, but prior to Secretary Blinken's call, you did not have any intent to write the statement. Answer, I did not. Question, okay, so his call triggered. Answer, it did, yes. Question, that intent in you? Yes, absolutely. The same day, October 17th, you emailed Morrell in an article published USA Today alleging the FBI was examining whether Hunter Biden laptop was part of a disinformation campaign. The very bottom of the email you sent to Morrell included the signature block of Andrew Bates, then director of rapid response for the Biden campaign. Morrell testified that his communication with you was one of few communications he had with the Biden campaign, explaining that he also received a call from Steve Ricchetti, chairman of the Biden campaign following the October 22 debate, to thank him for writing the statement. He testified after the debate. I think it was after the debate. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was after the debate. I got a phone call from Jeremy Bash, who worked at Beacon, who's active politically. And Jeremy said, do you have a minute to talk to Steve Ricchetti? Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. He was the head of the Biden campaign. And Jeremy got on the line, said he thanked me for putting together a statement. And that was the extent of the conversation. Well, further down, what was the intent of the statement? Answer, there were two intents. One was to share our concern with the American people the Russians were playing on the issue, and two was to help Vice President Biden. You wanted to help Vice President Biden, why? Well, because I wanted him to win the election. You wanted him to win, that's why. Yes, sir. So, in testimony, he wrote the letter to help Biden win the election.
Yeah, because everybody knew that if this, because it's come out in the past that if the laptop story was like out there, people wouldn't have voted for
Biden, right?
Yeah.
So here you have 50 former intelligence commission people using disinformation on the American people to sway an election. Is that election interference?
Absolutely. That's criminal. I mean, that goes against everything America stands for.
Right. That's traitorous.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what we do to other countries.
Well, exactly. And these are the people using that same trade craft on us.
I know. And we said it. It's a color revolution. The color's black. I'm sorry. It is.
So,
yeah, but I don't even know what this is. This is Tucker Carlson. It's a short clip. I don't even know what he says.
Just days before the 2020 election, dozens of former intelligence officials, some very famous people with a lot of credibility, produced a letter claiming that Hunter Biden's recently discovered laptop was from Russia. It was likely Russian disinformation. That was a lie, and we've suspected it was a lie for more than 2 years now. Now we're learning that lie came directly from Joe Biden and Tony Blinken, now the Secretary of State. That lie was election interference.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching, I was going through stuff today. I don't think I saved it, but I saw where, Biden this week also announced that he's going to run.
No, he hasn't announced it yet. I thought he did. No, they're saying that this coming Tuesday is when they're expecting it.
Oh, but they had Chuck Fraud on and talking about Biden's numbers, approval ratings and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. They said it was his approval ratings at 41%.
Of who?
I know. There's no way it's even above 40, right? But then they said, but only 30% of... independents have them in a positive light. 30% of independents. This is where you're going to win. This is where, the independents make the vote. Republicans or Democrats don't. It's independents.
Well, he's got his own party, his own base are turning on him because they see this guy's an unmitigated train wreck.
Well, okay. So that brings up the other thing from this week.
Justice Department, the IRS guy?
The IRS guy.
Oh, you ever heard about that?
No. I was going to bring up the fucking executive order he signed.
About the mortgages?
About the mortgages.
Okay, well, let's talk about that real quick.
That is totally unconstitutional.
Yeah, there needs to be some lawsuits on that one.
Yeah.
Because why am I subsidizing? Well, one, why am I paying for people's college? Now I got to pay for their mortgages.
Yeah. So if your FICO score is 620
or below,
you get a $1.75% fee discount or basic 1.75 off your interest rate.
Right.
Right. And then if your FICO score is 740 or above, you have to pay an additional 1%
fee. So they say it's going to average out to about $40 a month, which over the life of your 30-year loan will be around a $14,000 fee. They're claiming it as a fee, not an interest rate. It's a fee.
Right, it's a fee, but this fee
covers
these guys, these high-risk fuckers, so they can buy a house.
Exactly. Well, you know what? If you can't afford a house, don't buy a house.
Well, it's all... Okay, remember when... It's all about destroying the suburbs.
Right. Making people poor, making people dependent on government.
Right.
Because when you're dependent on government, they have control over you.
Right. But then you bring these poor people into...
The cities.
Into the suburbs. No, they're in the cities.
Oh.
They want them in the suburbs. And it brings down your property values. It does all this stuff. You got fucking shopping carts left behind all over the fucking place.
Well, where else are you going to go to Walmart? Because Walmart's leaving all the fucking cities.
Dude, have you seen the videos of, all these Walmarts that are just getting trashed?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on in this country?
Well, it's all those damn white supremacists.
Well,
anyways. So here's the IRS thing.
Okay, what's the IRS thing?
There is a career, over 10-year criminal investigator with the IRS. mm-hmm. who has got a lawyer and has requested with Congress whistleblower protection status.
Oh, yes, I heard, did hear this.
Because he has documented evidence that the Department of Justice has run an interference on the Hunter Biden investigations for tax fraud and for the gun charge.
Mm-hmm.
He also has documented evidence that a politically appointed senior DOJ official...
No, Biden official.
...has lied under oath to Congress. And it's coming out that they say that's Merrick Garland who's lied under oath to Congress, and he says he has proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be another impeachment. And if that doesn't turn into impeachment...
Dude, impeachment, he lied to Congress. That's 5 years in prison.
No. I'm saying to the president. Because of all the stuff here,
yeah.
And if he's influencing the DOJ to run interference on an investigation on his son,
mm-hmm.
that's an obstruction of justice charge, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's impeachment. So you got impeachment for what did we talk about earlier? The his election interference.
His election
right?
interference.
And now you have obstruction of justice. Then you have corruption.
Then you have the fact that he has failed to live up to his oath of office.
Yeah.
The whole
I think we just need to get a hold of Marjorie Taylor Greene because it seems like she's the only one who's good. Who's
I'm telling you right now, if it doesn't happen, I'm fucking Gomer piling his ass. Citizens arrest!
It's okay. We have a guest on the show today.
I'm going to citizens arrest his ass. I'm going to tell you right now.
Don't we?
It's my job as an American citizen. Gomer even says so in the show. It's his job as an American citizen to uphold the laws. If they're not going to do it, then we will.
We have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. So, yeah. So, I'm hoping this whistleblower comes out, and he wants to testify in front of Congress,
mm-hmm.
which is, as a whistleblower, that's...
But at least he said he wants to testify before all Congress.
Yeah, or bipartisan.
Bipartisan, yeah. I mean, where all the whistleblowers that, like, the, like shifty shift, bro.
Oh, yeah, there's like all
yeah, yeah. Well, we're not going to have any Republicans on her.
And it was all
secret
and anonymous.
Down in the basement of some of the Capitol.
Except for Vindman.
Well, he wasn't the whistleblower. They wouldn't admit it. Well, he probably was a whistleblower, but it was also the ex-CIA guy. I forgot his name that was on there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Vindman didn't get what that kid got. I mean, he should have been thrown in jail, too.
Should have been.
So, yeah.
21-year-old
but yeah,
gamer.
That really fucking pissed me off when I heard about this mortgage fucking thing.
Makes you think he drop your credit score.
We're good. I mean, they can't. We already signed the contract and everything.
So. Yeah, but what happens if you want to do like a home equity loan?
Well, there you go. That's gonna it's something you got to think about.
It's also gonna make you think about
refinancing.
Oh, well, who would want to refinance at this point right now?
Yeah, not with these interest rates.
Right. But say you wanted to buy either downsize or upgrade.
Uh huh.
Homes.
Yeah.
No one's going to want to sell their homes to be able to buy a new one because, if you're locked in right now, why would you unlock yourself and then get yourself subjected to
that? So that means if
that?
I want to do a home equity loan, which I've been thinking about, mm-hmm. I need to do it within the next week.
Does it go into effect on May 1st?
Yeah.
It's going to get blocked. It's got to get blocked.
It's got to get blocked.
As an executive order?
Mm-hmm.
Can it? I mean, but the thing is, why
didn't judges block a lot of
Trump's?
Yeah, but you got to have someone file a complaint. I think.
Well, fine, I'm filing the complaint right now.
Because it's like, why am I subsidizing another homeowner? This is a free market, right?
Yeah.
But, well, what's going to happen is another 2008.
Yeah. Where they're going to give these bad loans out.
They're going to give bad loans out. People, good people who have the good credit scores,
mm-hmm.
and who are going to be backing these, they're going to stop buying. And the housing market is going to drop. It's going to fall.
Yeah, exactly. My credit score is over 740.
Yeah.
If I was right now, I would not buy a house.
No.
I would like, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you.
We'll be happy where we're at.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't plan on it.
And I think a lot of people are going to happen. That's going to happen.
You guys want to subsidize these fuckers? You subsidize them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, though, are going to not buy, not sell. They're just going to say, you know what, fuck you.
Well, and it's going to hurt the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have another 2008. Where the
mortgage industry, but it's also going to hurt the banking industry,
the real estate, the realtors. Yeah,
everyone,
none of the people who are writing the mortgage underwriters at the bank. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. This is going to be worse than 2008.
It's going to be like Budweiser. All the distributors, I can't sell any beers. No one's buying it.
Right. Yeah, I can't feed my family. Yeah, it's like. Yeah, so anyways, so in case you missed it, apparently roads in America are racist.
What?
Yeah, here, listen to Mayor Pete here.
That's been a while.
No, he said we've got a crisis when it comes to roadway fatalities in America. We lose about 40,000 people every year. It's a level that's comparable to gun violence. And we see...
Okay, wait a minute. He said comparable to...
So are we going to ban cars?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Where's that? Where's the outrage? Where's the, we got to ban cars.
We're going to ban the assault car. What's it? That's an assault car.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let's finish.
A lot of racial disparities. Black and brown Americans, tribal citizens, and rural residents, much more likely to lose their lives, whether it's in a car or as a pedestrian being hit by a car. There are a lot of...
Okay, I got to stop right there, too, because he said tribal. Tribal people stumble out in their drunk asses out into the fucking rural roads all the fucking time. As someone who...
Train
used,
tracks.
Well, no, as somebody who used to go to... who's worked over 600 fatal accidents in his lifetime, I've worked these. They're drunk. They stumble out into fucking... unlit roadways at night in these rural areas. It has nothing to do with race, you fucking tard. That's the fact that they're drunk.
More has to do with
reasons,
alcohol than
related to discrimination, related to even the ways that roads are designed and built. Who has access to a safe street design that's got crosswalks and good lighting? Who doesn't have that access? That can drive disparities, and we have a responsibility to act on that.
Okay. So, now he's talking about design. Like, okay, well, we're going to build this in a black neighborhood, so don't design it to design speeds or whatever. We'll do it subpar to design speeds. Wrong. The city's the one that's... It's city right-of-way. They're the ones that are going to get sued if something's not...
Putting a neighborhood at 55 miles an hour? Is that what they're talking about?
He's talking about design speeds of roads.
Design like that, and then, oh, there's less lighting. So in a poor area, there's going to be less lighting. It's going to be darker, so it's unsafe for pedestrians to cross the street. We're not going to put as many crosswalks in the area.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, if someone's going to blow through a crosswalk, doesn't matter if it's a rich area or poor area, they're going to do it.
Right.
And once again, most of it has to do with alcohol, like Chuck said a minute ago.
Well, and I also think a lot of it has to do with around here, I've noticed. Nobody likes crosswalks. They're going to cross mid-street.
Yeah, wherever they want.
Wherever they want.
I do what I want.
And if a pedestrian's going to get hit, uh-huh, it's going to be outside of the crosswalk. So if you put a crosswalk every 10 feet, what good is that going to be?
How the hell are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Dude, you just stop traffic.
Exactly.
So Mayor Pete's like out there, and that's kind of funny. Everything he talks about is racist. You know what I mean? It's like the roads are racist, the cars are racist.
Yeah. Right, around here, this is what you hear.
Hago lo que quiero.
What?
I do what I want.
Hago lo que quiero.
But then you have this lady. This is Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, right?
That chick with the purple hair?
Yeah. And she's talking about Mayor Pete, and she's thanking him, right?
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing.
Is she one of them? female dummies?
I would say so.
This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
What if they identify as female?
Okay.
Right? Which dummy are you going to use in the passenger side of the car then?
Okay, so how do you, besides putting boobs on it, right? Because I'm pretty sure that the crash test dummies don't have a Johnson, right? It's kind of built like a G.I. Joe. Look, there's nothing there, right? So, other than putting, like, boobs on it, what's the difference?
Probably density in the bone structure, so density in the dummy structure, based on organ locations. I mean, really, it's just...
Okay, can't you just...
But once again, is she admitting there's only two genders? Did she just admit that in her testimony and her request?
Could be.
Right?
Yeah.
Did she just basically admit that there's a physiological and biological difference between the two genders?
Between men and women?
Yeah.
Yep. Man, she should be a Supreme Court judge. Because the other one can't decide. I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
But see, so here's a Democrat that's now on record in testimony.
Uh-huh.
Inadvertently, because I know she didn't mean to do this.
Yeah,
just admitted.
She looks like a clown.
Just admitted that there's two genders.
Yeah,
you're right. And I'm sorry, they've been testing male and female dummies for a long fucking time.
But yeah, I know.
It's also like they have child dummies in the car seats.
Yeah. So, do we have to have? What about transgender people? Should we have transgender dummies?
We just put lipstick on the male one. It's ma'am.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of transgenders, did you see that fucker that, like, threatened everybody?
Oh, that dude with the glasses?
Yeah, I didn't save it because I didn't think it was worth talking about, but...
You're talking about it.
I know, but, well, it's because I really didn't want to give the guy any fucking... But he's such a tool. He's like... And I
dare you to stop me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it'll be the last mistake you ever make. Then it comes out, turns out that this dude's like some kind of really sick pervert that he just gets off. He gets his rocks off pretending to be a woman.
And going into the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, they still haven't released the manifesto.
And they're not going to. The FBI says they're not going to.
Because it would really hurt the transgender movement, probably.
Probably. Well, because okay, so you got that. Then you got this other tranny guy telling these people to carry guns and to shoot people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on the topic here,
mm-hmm.
You got Gays Against Groomers as a Twitter handle, right?
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. It says, Vanderbilt University doctor admits that trans surgeries are huge moneymakers, bringing anywhere from $20,000 to $100,000 per phallopathy, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So these monsters look at confused, indoctrinated children, and all they see is dollar signs. So there's the real reason, and they're not even trying to hide it anymore, is the fact that it's about money.
It's all about money. That's all healthcare is. We were talking. Why do you think they keep putting you on drugs? It's all about money. Money, 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 money. Well, you know, you got to keep taking this drug. Well, why? The symptoms are gone. Well, it could come back.
Get a booster.
Yeah. Exactly. It's all about fucking money. Hey, it's kind of funny you said that. So, I'm going to play this. Let's see if I have to find this video. So, this video, here's a lady. Talking about she's boosted, double boosted. So you gotta watch the video.
Oh, I've seen it. The comedian on stage?
I think so.
Listen. Yeah.
I
don't care, but I want you to know double vaxxed, booster, flu shot, and I'm gonna be honest, I have the shingle shot too. And I still get my period. What? Yes! Traveled. Went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most. Seriously. So nice. So nice.
Oh, she collapses.
Yeah, and there comes the paramedics.
Everyone laughs like it's part of the show. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, she's real. She's really dying.
Jesus said, I don't love you,
bitch. Exactly. That's what's really funny about this. Jesus loves me the most. Right after she says it.
down she goes.
Apparently not.
No, what oak?
Jesus hit her with the right cross.
I smite thee. Yeah. I better be careful what I say.
I know. Really? Like you the most? Here, tell me how what it feels like in hell, bitch.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's funny.
So, where are we out on time, Lynn?
Break time.
Okay. So
you got our one commercial ready?
I got our commercial.
Okay.
We got our commercial this week, so here it is. We'll be right back after this message. American
heroes. Today we salute you, former Budweiser drinkers of America. Together, you've sworn to never drink another drop of Bud Light or any other beer from Anheuser-Busch. Ancient history. Sure, it might taste like piss from a hamster, but it gave us a cheap buzz. And a cheap buzz is exactly what we've needed over the last 2 years. You said it, brother. So while there might be a tear in your beer and a hole in your heart, hold your heads high and know that today is a new day and there's other beers in the sea.
Man, I love the way these crack.
I know. We're back. We're back with a crack.
What'd you call me?
Okay. So, okay.
Better than last night where he said he filled his crack. Hmm?
I didn't say I filled.
Film a crack in?
Film a crack in.
Something about filling a crack and... So, a bowling ball, that's it.
My bowling ball is cracked.
Filled the crack and re-drilled.
No, I had them drill the crack out and then refill it. Get it right.
They drilled your crack out?
Yeah. Okay, so.
Quick pass over that.
No, I'm not Dylan Mulvaney. Okay. So.
Hey. So, Shanae-nay.
When was it? Back in January? When did we go to that Turning Point USA thing? January?
It was January.
Back in January, we all were introduced to a new Florida congressman, Brian Donald.
Byron Donald, right? That guy was awesome.
Yeah, I got a couple clips here from him just this week, okay? And both of them are outstanding. So let's really take a listen real quick.
Okay.
We'll talk about what he's talking about. So this first one is he's talking to someone who's part of the Clinton campaign. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, real quick, last question. I think it might have came up. You were Hillary Clinton's CFO in the campaign, right?
It's part of my history.
Were you? Yes or no?
In 2016.
Did you facilitate the payment for the Steele dossier since you were CFO of the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Sir.
Yes or no?
Sir.
Yes or no?
That was not...
You're under oath, Chairman Gensler, yes or no?
I know. It was not something I was aware of.
Okay, and then he was on, I don't know if it was this morning or when this was, but he was on CNN, and this is what he had to say.
All right.
My view on the presidential primaries amongst Republicans is that our nominee's got to hit the ground running on day one and be able to say to the world, look, American leadership is back. We're not going to have countries and their sovereignties be taken advantage of. We want to actually have global security and global trade, and frankly, global harmony. I remember Hillary Clinton once said in a debate in 2016 that if Donald Trump became president of the United States, we would be on the precipice of World War III. Well, that never happened. As a matter of fact, the world got a lot safer. If anybody's got us on the precipice, it's Joe Biden. So if you ask me a decision between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, what I'm looking for is somebody who can come in day one and get America back on track. Donald Trump has done it once, he can do it again. And I would ask all Americans, you have President Trump, you have President Biden. They both done the job. The question is, who did it better?
Trump.
But what's really funny about this video is, there's a, and I don't know who this black guy is on CNN, but he is not a happy camper. You know, they're showing this split screen, and Byron Donalds is talking, and this guy the whole time is just, he is not comfortable.
All right. So both clips, Byron Donalds, it's just fucking just throwing shit out there, but it's facts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the first one, it's like, hey, you're the chief CFO.
Yeah.
Where's the money going? Why not? You're the guy supposed to be doling the money out.
Yeah. You have control of the money.
And then here's a second part where he's throwing facts out about the difference between Biden and Clinton, Biden and Trump, saying who actually had a safer world under their leadership, and who knows how to deal with these countries, and we don't have time to fucking deal with these people.
It's funnier. It's what's funnier and shit is the Biden administration. I mean, just last, was it last week or a few weeks ago, blamed the Afghanistan fuck up on Trump. It's like,
so see, we gotta go back into our, like, the Wayback Machine and figure out where, you know, in the campaign, Biden, I'm not gonna blame previous administration. I'm gonna take responsibility.
Yeah, we should find that. I mean, we played that clip 100 times.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like,
the buck stops here.
He has not taken responsibility for shit.
For one thing. One thing.
Nothing. It's always Trump.
And so when the economy fucking crashes here,
because it's gonna be Trump's fault.
Because of his stupid fucking policy.
Fucking Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Trump made me do it. He made me do it. It's like, is he living in your fucking head, dumbass? So,
but here's the thing. I mean, we said it before. I'm starting to believe more and more and more that Biden is not really running shit. Yeah, so he's not running shit.
Yeah.
We had a little technical glitch there. Actually, so I think, I really, really, really think that people like Susan Rice, you know, are behind the scenes making the decisions, making the policies, and Biden's just like, sign here, like Radar Riley. Okay, sign here, you know.
And Obama. Don't forget Obama.
Obama's there. Ron Klain, the former chief of staff, he's still involved with it. But there are people behind the scenes that are making the decisions and making these policies. Like, all of these... We talked about in the first segment, you know, this housing fee.
Right.
Right? That's not Biden. He's not smart enough to do that. These policy advisors, whoever the lobbyists are, these big business, they're fucking ruining America. This is the transformational change of America that Obama wanted.
Yes.
Really is.
Yeah. It started day one with his, in his fucking thing. Remember when remember the cop that went to the judge's house and... And the judge, or the cop asked the judge for ID, and he didn't want to give it to him.
Yeah, oh, it's racist. The cop acted stupidly.
Yeah. And so then, this was a beer-drinking moment, and he invited the cop over to discuss how he did things wrong.
Yeah, excuse me, excuse, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, all this racial divide in our country that really started in his administration.
Again. Yes, exactly.
He has set race relations back. He has set our economy back. He has put us in a position in the world where we've lost the dollars using our world reserve. We're losing our global status. And this is all Obama's doing. I really think it is.
Yeah. And he, remember, he shipped jobs overseas and said they'd never come back without magic wand. Well, Trump brought them back. I mean, remember, Trump threatened to put a tariff on Ford. Or when Ford was going to move their fucking plant to Mexico. And Trump's like, fine, move it to Mexico. But there's going to be a 35% tariff on all your fucking shit that you ship back here.
Yeah.
Oh,
we'll stay here.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, good call, motherfucker. Yeah. Now under Biden, where are they at?
Yeah, exactly.
So you had made a comment previously off the air during one of our technical, about a possible running mate.
Oh, so you played those clips of Byron Donalds.
Right.
Did you know this weekend Trump was at some pizzeria in Florida with Byron Donalds making an appearance?
I didn't know he was. I knew he was at a pizzeria.
Yeah, Byron Donalds was there. Mm-hmm. And he had Byron Donalds' sons. Because Byron Donalds made a comment about how Trump made his son just feel like a rock star. Just made his weekend, made his day. Because I guess his son loves Trump. Mm-hmm. But Trump gave him, you know, gave the kid attention. Gave the kid, made him feel special, personal.
Yeah.
Which is what Trump does.
Right. And then if you looked at the video, I saw a video of, and there's this massive people outside, right? Of the fucking pizza place. Trump's handing out slices.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, remember when he went to Ohio and bought McDonald's for everybody?
You know,
Trump loves fast food, apparently.
He does. He loves McDonald's, too.
But I heard a statement by someone who said that's what is endearing to the American people that voted for him. Was he doesn't put up airs like he's better than someone else. That he likes the same things that the basic American people like.
He's an American person.
Yeah. Joe Biden's not. Biden.
They're the elites, and so they're going to go to
the Hawaii. They think they're elite. Yeah. They're fucking scum of the earth.
Okay, so Trump may be rich and maybe a billionaire, but he's down to earth. He understands us.
And likes McDonald's.
Right, and likes McDonald's. But, you know, the thing is, you know, this is my speculation, and this maybe it's my wishful thinking. I would like to see a Trump-Donald's ticket.
Hey, I'd vote for it right now. I mean...
Seriously. Because...
Could you imagine Byron Donalds debating Kamala Harris?
Oh, God.
Well, and then what's also...
It's like exciting
about it is that Trump... can only be in for 4 more years, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So then, but Donald's to be in for another eight. After.
Yeah. Right. So, and dude, that dude is so smart. I didn't realize this until I saw an interview with him. You know, he was a financial advisor before he ran for office.
Didn't know that. All I know is
He mentioned that at the USA Turning Point.
All I know is when we heard him talk that was a Saturday or Sunday at Turning Point USA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed with this guy.
Yeah, he mentioned it in that talk that he was financial.
Well, that's like he's gone on CNN and he's talking about the economy and all this stuff and people like trying to get him a gotcha moment. He goes, "Excuse me."
Yeah.
He goes, "I was a certified financial advisor. I had to step away and recuse myself because of being on the Ways and Means Committee or whatever he's on, and he had to give up his licenses because it would be a conflict of interest."
Mm-hmm.
But he understands investments, and he understands how this shit works.
Right.
Which is why I think him and Trump, because Trump being a businessman also, man, that could be a force to be reckoned with.
Right, they could get the economy back on track in
seriously.
In no time.
And
because we're off the rails right now.
We're
Pete Buttigieg in it. We're Buttigieg in it.
East Palestine. Shit's burning. We're breathing in the toxic smoke.
Exactly. Yeah, so Trump Donald's 2024.
That would be good. That would be better than Trump Gabbard.
Let's start.
We talked about that the other night at dinner.
I still wouldn't oppose that if that's the way you went.
No, I mean, trust me. Tulsi Gabbard, we've talked about it in the past, but even when she was a Democrat, she was one of the seriously more moderate Democrats and more down to earth.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is it just me or does it seem like she's on the Trump train lately?
She is on the Trump. But because she's American. The thing I love about Tulsi Gabbard is she understands America. She gets what America is.
Okay.
Democrats don't get what America. Democrats are all in it for power.
I have my own personal reasons why I like Tulsi.
Uh-huh.
It's only
because
she.
Well, I know, because she's a military police.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, see, to me, that shows the common sense, because she's been on the ground in the dirt at the lower levels doing the hard work.
She knows what it means to be an American.
And she knows what it means to take the oath and throw her ass on the line.
Right.
Not just to take the oath and sit up in fucking D.C.
No, and then bitch if someone fucking, that's an interaction.
Right, because she's actually deployed downrange and put her ass on the line like any other service member. So the oath means something different to someone who's actually been downrange.
Right.
You know, knowing that, hey, I may not come back from this shit.
Yeah.
So that's where my respect for her comes, but I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If I had to choose between Gabbard and Donalds, I'm taking that dude, man.
Yeah. Well, no, I would take him too. But I would just say if Trump picked Tulsi Gabbard, I'm not going to...
Right. You know, I'm sorry. Fucking... Trump could pick the tooth fairy. I'm saying I'll probably vote for Trump. I'm sorry.
But I think at this point, though, for the Republican Party and for the votes, they have to look at who's going to be the strongest person to drawing the people.
True. Right. I mean, part of it is, okay.
You know, anyone who's for Trump is going to vote for Trump. But those independents who are going, maybe not, maybe, they're going to base their...
Well, he can't pick Pence again because, one...
No.
Right?
But he's...
Pence's political career is over.
But what I'm saying is he has to choose a vice president that's going to draw those independents.
Right. So...
And I think Donald's is going to be the one.
Yeah, it's going to be a tougher sell. And okay, here's where the racial identity politics comes into play. It's going to have to either be a minority or a female. One of the two. Mm-hmm. He can't pick another white male.
And he can't pick a white female.
I don't think so.
I think Carrie Lake is out, but...
You know, Carrie Lake would be good. She would be good. But she's too much of a firebrand, right,
for him. I actually think that he's courting her for something else. And it would be probably either... What was Kayleigh McEnany?
Oh, no, press secretary? No.
She's gonna. No. She wants to hold office. She wants to get in there. I think. Honestly, I would like to see the Donalds.
The Donalds, get it?
The Donalds.
Yeah. Byron Donalds and Donald.
The Donalds.
Donald. Hey, what a
campaign! There you. You have it here first. Chuckie Farley.
Yeah.
The Donalds.
The Donalds.
Yeah, I don't know what he'd be grooming her for, but she's like, she
fights the fake news. She knows the news.
Well, she knows the news.
So she would fight.
She could be, no, but she, there is a place on his cabinet for her.
But you don't want to go running for governor to go to press secretary. No, you want a cabinet position. So.
And there is a position for her. I'm just not sure which one it is.
Right, exactly. That's a good question, because even Carrie Lake, like I said, it could be Donald Trump or the Tooth Fairy.
Because right now,
Mayorkas.
Hey,
put her in there for Mayorkas.
You know what? Well, yeah, put her in as Secretary of Homeland Defense or whatever, mm-hmm. because she can't do any worse than this fucking clown.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Mayorkas, I have a clip of another one of my favorite senators, Clay Higgins, and he's talking to Mayorkas this week because apparently they interviewed him, and I'm going to play this. It's kind of a long clip,
okay?
When this guy talks, I just love listening to him talk.
All right.
So since we're talking about Mayorkas,
that was an accidental segue.
Listen to this. Just seriously.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary. Your stand and your testimony today regarding operational control of our southern border, which by any reasonable man's definition, certainly been lost. You're standing on a word in the legislation that gave birth to the specific law saying all illegal crossings and no one's ever. We'll take a drip. America be okay with that. Which you and your execution of your inaugurated president's policy have given America is a flood. We've identified over 11 laws that you violated. Some of the most egregious, the Secure Fence Act 2006 concerning operational control, Immigration Nationalization Act 236, Section C-8, U.S. Code 1226 concerning detention, INA 241, Section A2, U.S. Code 81231 concerning detention, Immigration and Nationalization Act, Section D5 Alpha, 8 U.S. Code 1182 concerning parole. We've given you ample opportunity to seek some sort of honorable exit from your executive position, sir. We take no pleasure in witnessing you dismantle yourself as a fellow American before the whole country. Your legacy, millions of illegals enter our country, millions under your watch, loss of operational control of our border, aligning DHS policy as an asset to Mexican cartel drug and human trafficking, the disintegration of our national sovereignty, destruction of countless thousands of Texas family lives, overwhelming crime waves sweeping across our country, over a million criminal runners you call gotaways flooding into America, many carrying backpacks loaded with deadly fentanyl and meth, or herding teenage girls into prostitution, sex slave networks across America. 225,000 Americans dead from Mexican cartel drug overdose since you took office 2 years ago. You and your inaugurated president, but mostly you, sir, because you have your whole mind about you. And you have a highly decorated background in border operations, so you're supposed to be the expert. You, sir, are the Secretary of Homeland Security who has failed in your sworn oath to protect our nation from invasion. You had an obligation to execute the president's policies or advise the president if his policies were bringing injury to America. Ultimately, your oath requires you to secure our nation's sovereign border with Mexico and do anything necessary to stop the Mexican cartels from trafficking endless wave upon human wave of illegals into America, along with miserable death, unspeakable grief, graveyards filled from sea to shining sea with the bodies of American sons and daughters, dead from fentanyl. You've brought generational trauma upon our country. I believe history will witness your era of service as a transitional time in our country. But what was America like before Secretary Mayorkas, and what was America like after him? It's stunning that you could sit there and smugly grin as if you've not miserably failed your country. We could give you money to hire 1,000 new border agents. Nobody wants to work for you. They're coming forth. We can't keep up with the whistleblowers that are coming to testify against your command. We could give you money to deploy all sorts of new technology. I have evidence in my file that you've given command to not deploy technology that you currently have because it interfered with the cartel's business model. We're done with your lies to America. It's shameful what you brought upon our country. Mr. Chairman, I have no interest in asking the Secretary any questions.
Mr.
He obfuscates and lies.
Mr. Chairman.
I yield. Thank you.
Dude, that's the second long speech I played from this guy, but, dude, he is good.
He is.
I mean...
And tell me what in that area, what his statement was a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Mayorkas, they turned their backs on him. Remember he went down to Tucson?
Yeah.
Or Yuma. It was Yuma.
And they stood up and they turned their backs on him because of the way... Yeah, don't trust me, dude. I talk to a lot of Border Patrol agents, ICE agents.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, being... retired military. I've known a lot of guys in federal law enforcement over the years as military police.
Right.
So I still know a lot of these guys who are still active.
Right.
And they can't stand this dude. They really can't. And they're frustrated because they can't do their jobs.
He's a little weasel. I mean, look at him.
Well here, you know, Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. government, you heard him mention in his thing he's violated the Act on Parole, right? Uh-huh. You know what parole is in immigration? So when they get captured by Border Patrol, they are either remanded into ICE custody, into the facilities, and go through the processes, right?
Right.
Or a parole means, all right, we're going to give you this paper, we're going to release you into the U.S., you got to come back for your court date, which is like in 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, they never come back.
That's parole.
Yeah.
So...
And they give them a free fucking phone.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Do you realize there is an app on your phone right now, right? Created by the U.S. government, that these illegals, anywhere in their country, home country, Mexico, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, whatever, can get on the app and apply for parole even before they fucking cross the border?
No.
And they cross the border, right, and they tell the Border Patrol agent whether they've already been approved for parole or not. They get pre-approved before they even cross illegally.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Hmm? That's what I'm getting from my contacts. Nice.
You've got to be fucking kidding. This is ridiculous. This is another Biden thing that he needs to be impeached for.
So why are we granting parole or allowing people to apply for parole, not even asylum, parole, before they cross illegally into our country?
Yeah, exactly. Why are we not bombing the fucking cartels right now is my biggest fucking thing.
So, well, yeah, well, they wanted to designate them as terrorist organizations. Like, oh, no, we can't.
We can't even designate. Al-Qaeda's not even a terrorist. They're our buddies now.
Taliban.
It's like,
I mean, here we are arming the Taliban. We're going to give them a, hey, we're going to pay for their retirement checks now, too?
That little turd nugget, what's his name? That fucking guy that goes to the press secretary meetings?
Sullivan?
Yeah, that might be him. You know, he's out there saying, well, you know, it's theirs now. We left it for him.
Kirby?
Yeah.
Admiral Kirby?
That guy. Who comes on, you know. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we gave that to the Afghans.
Yeah. So we gave them the $85 million fucking dollars, too? The taxpayer money? My fucking money? We just gave it to them? Hey, yep, you know, the American people are glad to give you this. No, we're not.
Well, thanks to Biden, that $85 million is not worth, like, $6.
I know, but it's like, all of a sudden, they're like, no, the American people are glad to give you this money. No, we're not. Has anybody asked the American people?
Yeah.
What they want done with their fucking money?
Yeah, they're wasting our money. They're taxing the shit out of us. It's disgusting what they're doing.
It is. And speaking of taxes, so this week was tax week, right? Monday was, you had to file your taxes by Monday, right?
Really?
Tuesday.
Monday.
It was 18th.
I thought it was the 17th.
No.
So, anyway, so, speaking of taxes, so, here, I'm going to play you this clip. This is fucking funnier than shit, because listen, these are millionaires, right? And they're up there going, they want Congress to pass this 90% tax on super rich people, right? So, listen, just pay really close attention.
Oh, I saw this.
Hi, Steve Moore here. I'm here at the Patriotic Millionaires press conference where a bunch of millionaires said they want to pay higher taxes and they're advocating for it, but they won't sign a pledge saying they're willing to pay the taxes that they endorse. In fact, not one of these Patriotic Millionaires raised their hand and said, I'm willing to pay more taxes voluntarily.
Welcome to Tax Day, one of the most segregated, most unequal, and one of the most unjust days of the year in America.
It's about billionaires owning super yachts and Rolexes while hardworking people are struggling to afford their rent or going to sleep hungry.
The poor and the working class are not going to bring this country down. It's the wealthy that'll bring the country down.
It's time to enact a new tax code that requires those who benefited the most from America's economic structure to recycle a significant portion of that benefit back into our society, rather than allowing them to amass fortunes so large that they threaten our democracy.
Hi, thank you, by the way, for doing this. And it's incredibly patriotic what you're talking about in terms of being willing to pay more taxes. I think, Myron, you started out this press conference by saying you want to pay more taxes. And so I represent a group called the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And we have these pledges. How many of you are millionaires here? I know you are. A number of you, we're hoping that each one of you will sign this pledge, which says that you will pay a 90% tax, just as you're endorsing today, because you say it's your patriotic duty to do so. And so I'm hoping that each one of you will sign this pledge that says I'm willing to pay a 90% tax, because it's your, as you said, it's your patriotic.
So let me understand, it's you want me to do that individually, or you want me to do it?
Ms. Disney. Yeah, let's get people. I've got pens. Let's sign these, you know, that you'll, so we can solve the problem. No, we want. You all said that you wanted to pay. You said you wanted to pay more taxes.
We want to change the system.
No. You said you want to pay more taxes. So, don't you think it's your duty?
Can we keep this depressing?
I'm sorry. Don't you think it's your patriotic duty to pay more taxes if you're saying that?
The voluntary paying of more is not what
you all. But you all are.
So,
Yeah. All of a sudden, these people are like, what? You want me to pay more tax?
You want me to sign something that says I'm actually going to do it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's patriotic. The lady from Disney. What? We're not going to sign.
It's virtue signaling.
It's like, we're the rich. We want to pay more taxes, but, you know.
But the government has to change the tax rules.
Yeah, exactly.
You can pay more.
You can pay more.
Here's a spot.
Steve Moore here.
There's a spot on there that says I voluntarily pay this amount of money.
Yeah, here. Sign. They're paying this much. Because we didn't get as much back this year as we have in the last few years.
No, not me neither.
But we weren't supposed to pay 1%, 1 cent more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're making less than $400,000.
Okay, and speaking of that, it's $400,000. Who makes $400,000 a year?
Not this guy.
No. Who? There's one specific person that makes $400,000.
The president.
The president. So if you make. Or don't make over 400,000. Don't make over 400,000.
Won't see a penny increase. But that doesn't account for all the millions he's making on the table from his son Hunter.
I know, but still, it's kind of funny, isn't it? It's like, I make 400,000. Exactly. So if you don't make over 400,000, you're not going to pay another.
Not a dime. Not a dime more in taxes.
Yeah. But so, yeah, you know. If I made $200,000 in taxes, I wouldn't bitch about a fucking thing, right? If I made $200,000 a year.
A year?
Yeah. I wouldn't bitch about fucking crap.
Yeah, but $100,000 of that now is going for groceries.
Okay, but I still have $100,000, right?
Another $80,000 going to mortgage or and interest and credit cards. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, this guy is fucking, he's a turd.
Dude, they're all turds. Big steamy
piles. So, okay, I'm gonna play this. What were we looking at, Lynn?
30 minutes.
Okay, I'm gonna play this one video. This video right here. There's these four old men. That's kind of funny. And they
walk into a bar.
No, they actually walk into a trans fucking show here.
Is this like the dance one?
Yeah.
The old guy.
Yeah. The old guy. Yeah, just listen, just pay attention. Just kind of listen to this. It's kind of funny.
Why don't we just pair up?
I'm not into touching, okay? I'm not letting you put that out front. No touching.
I won't touch you.
I was paired up with Isaac. He was like, no touching. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
The music will start. The boys will turn around. So, right. Gentlemen, let's turn. Gorgeous. And then we start walking.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then maybe let's look at the gentleman. Gentlemen, you guys can acknowledge us. Ooh, who is this?
Cool. I'm sorry. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm a man of God. I can't do this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I love those people. I pray for them. I would never do anything to hurt them or condemn them. But men are not supposed to dress like women. I'm not going to go along with that. It's time to stand up and be a man of God.
James Skippy.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny. Because that is the ugliest fucking tranny I've ever fucking saw.
Yeah.
Ever. The dude that got paired up with this gentleman.
Hey, before we go, have we talked about the Budweiser controversy?
Sort
last
of.
Last week, yeah.
Last week.
Did we talk about it this week?
No.
The vice president, what's her name? Heinerscheid?
Heiner, yeah. What is it? Heiner. Heine.
Tiny so, Heine?
Does it matter?
No, it's Tiny Heine in my ass.
All right, so anyways, she's on a leave of absence.
Yeah. Leave of absence.
So why can't Budweiser just fire the bitch?
Oh, here, look. Here, since you brought it up, here's a clip of her. Here's a clip of her talking about why she did what she did.
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time.
Was it?
And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men.
Mm-hmm.
And representation is at sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor, and it was
okay,
but it worked.
Yeah,
and half your base of your customers are fucking, you know, rural redneck beer drinking guzzlers, right?
Yeah. Okay, but my point, the thing is, she said we had to bring in like
inclusivity.
Okay, so how do you do that? You don't bring in less a tranny. Okay, that's not in. You're including less than 1% of the fucking population.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You want to bring a woman in? Bring a real woman in. Bring a fucking attractive, something that men are gonna go, hey. You know? Because seriously, Dylan Mulvaney, no one's gonna go, hey. not even gay guys are gonna go, hey. And I was like, ew. What the fuck is that thing?
So she's taking a leave of absence. Budweiser doesn't even have the balls to their customers in the base. All right, we fired this chick.
Yeah.
Right? She fucked up, caused us to lose $6 billion, with a B, of market value.
Uh-huh.
And you said it before the show. If you were a shareholder...
Yeah, if I was a shareholder, I'd be fucking screaming for this woman to be fired.
Right.
And for a national... fucking apology.
Apology.
Yeah, we're sorry. Not that we didn't want to be part of a national discussion. That's not an apology.
No.
That's we're fucked up now.
Yeah. No, your apology is, hey, we screwed up.
Yeah.
We picked a crappy fucking campaign ad.
Yeah.
And we're sorry we alienated the people who have kept us alive.
Yeah, exactly. We're sorry our share, because I looked at the shares of Bud and it had gone down, but it had been on the rise. Right. Then they did this fucking thing.
Is it back down again?
It is back down again. And then you got the White House. Here's Press Secretary Lesbo in her fucking comment.
About Bud Light.
The transgender actor and influencer Dylan Mulvaney has been the target of a barrage of attacks from anti-trans individuals online after she did an ad with Bud Light a couple of weeks ago. She's someone who has been here to the White House. She interviewed the president last year. He had a lot of warm words for her. Has anyone here at the White House reached out to her since she became the target of these attacks?
So don't have any calls to review at this time, and I don't have anything to say specifically about this report, but what I can say, when a transgender American posts a video about a brand of beer they enjoy, and it leads to bomb threats, it's clear that that level of violence and vitriol against transgender American has to stop. And the president has been very clear. I just laid this out. The administration is going to do everything that they can to protect LGBTQI plus people who are under attack. And that's what we've been seeing across the country, especially in state houses.
So they're making them the
victims
again.
And so we're going to fight alongside them to protect their rights. They should be allowed to be who they are, who they want to be. And they should be able to speak out against, and we should be able to speak out, and others should be able to speak out against hate and discrimination. But look, that type of dangerous rhetoric, that type of vitriolic language and violence, that needs to stop.
Okay, first of all, I haven't heard one bomb threat.
Me neither.
But it's, so it's okay for them to speak out, but it's not okay for us to speak out?
Dude, it's a one-way thing. You, Chuck, you're a white boy. You don't get an opinion, you don't get a voice, you don't get to say shit, right?
No, I'm gonna speak out all I fucking want. I fucking built this country on my fucking back.
But.
You know what? And
but you don't get to claim to be the victim, because you're white.
You guys don't get to come in here and fucking change things all fucking sudden. So. Just because it's cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's, you know, these transformers belong in a fucking mental institution. Mm-hmm. We need to bring back the state mental hospitals. All this really shit really started when they closed down the mental facilities and let people on the streets.
Right.
Seriously. You know.
Okay, one last thing real quick.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to play a video that's apparently
been banned in three countries.
It's been banned a lot of places. It disappeared, and they don't want it out there. But we're gonna play it right here.
All right.
Listen to the. Tell me who this is.
Not enough for America's future.
Hitler.
That some participate and others don't. We have been given an extraordinary blessing. And at this moment in time, our country needs us. And we need people like George Soros, who is fearless and willing to step up when it counts. So please join me in welcoming George Soros.
It is the first time that I feel that I need to stand up and do something really and become really engaged in the electoral process in this country.
In this country.
Yeah.
When was that?
I don't know when it was.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
That's an old video.
So, but people thought it disappeared.
Yeah.
They thought it went away.
Well, see, the problem is now the problem is not just George Soros, but it's his son, Alexander Soros.
Who's had 14 visits to the White House.
White House since Biden took office.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's a fucking commie, or a Nazi. You guys understand this, right? You call fucking Republicans Nazis all the fucking time, but you guys are in bed with them.
Yeah. So...
In Anyways. Bed with them.
All right. Well, wow, what a show.
Yeah, so...
What's this next week going to bring?
Who knows? Hopefully an indictment on somebody.
I want to, or charges of impeachment that are actually going to follow through with an investigation. At least one.
You know what?
Give me one impeachment.
Even if you don't impeach him, fucking just file the fucking charges.
Well, someone's already filed articles. No, we need at least one hearing. We need one charge right now.
Yeah.
We need at least two charges eventually, maybe three. Let's do, because Nancy made Trump two times impeached for bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
For bullshit.
We have real shit on Biden.
Yeah.
We're the impeachments, whether he's convicted or not. Let's go for three.
Yeah.
Let's listen.
Well, I want Mayorkas.
But let's also hear the Democrats scream and cry about, oh, you're just doing this for political purposes. You open the fucking door, assholes.
Right. The same thing with the indictments.
Right. You open the door.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. When Biden's out of office and we charge his ass.
Out of office. Fuck that. Indict him now.
Well, can you indict him now as a sitting president? I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, he'll be the first sitting president.
You're going to tell me if he went in and fucking shoplifted and got caught red fucking handed, you can't arrest him because he's the president?
I don't know. Never been tried. But you know what? Let's try it. Let's try to charge him right now.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Democrats open the door to this bullshit.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Yeah. Let's fucking play their game. We're not above it. Fuck that. I'm tired of being above it when it comes to politics.
I'm not above fucking shit, dude.
Well, you know, the Republicans try to take the high road. And they're like, well, No. The door's been open.
Yeah.
They kicked Pandora's box wide the fuck open. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah. That's where real Republicans are.
Right?
Yeah. The rhinos are like, because you're in bed with the fucking Democrats, fucking dirt.
Right. No, but, that box has been flown.
Yeah. It's on, motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah. It's on.
All right. So, hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Yep. Me too. Lindy, do you appreciate
it? Yeah.
Okay. Follow us on
True Social.
I gotta get this right. Follow us, like, and follow us on Spotify so we get paid.
You need beer money. We need beer money. That's getting expensive to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Even though since we've gone away from Bud Light products, it's been cheaper. Cheaper. Seriously, I can't. Go figure. But it's cheaper. Okay, so. Like us on, we're at True Social on Did We Offend You? And we're on Twitter at Did We Offend the Letter U? Email us at didweoffendyou@gmail.com. We appreciate everybody who listens to us, everybody who follows us, everybody who likes us.
we really, seriously, I mean, we do this for fun, but
spread the word.
Spread the word, please. Yeah, I mean, you know, we do appreciate it. And like I said in the past, reach out to us at our email, and I will send you some Slide in the Biden coasters.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week. All right.